Arba'ah of the Zikr. The Mishnah opens, there are four fathers of Nezek, which right away makes you wonder what that means. Father of Nezek. And that really bolts you straight into the profundity of what the Mishnah is doing. Because open line, the Gemara starts, is also sensitive to that question of what does that terminology even mean? So the Gemara writer says, well, if we're calling these Nezakim fathers, Rashi tells us immediately on the Mishnah that Avos are those instances of Nezek which appear directly, explicitly in the Chumash. As you saw in the Sukkim, there's a parasha about a fire spreading, there's a parasha about a boar, and there's more than one parasha about an animal causing, a shor causing damage. So Rashi Rabbi says, well, these avos are all instances that appear in the Chumash. And these are all parashas of the Torah Shebichsav. The Gemara, in opening with the observation of avos miklal dekatavdos, that if there are avos, apparently they have children, they have derivatives, so that's highlighting the fact that the Mishnah chose to describe the cases in Chumash as fathers, because the Mishnah is highlighting the fact that the cases in Chumash are generators. The cases in Chumash are not just the whole extent of the din, but these are cases that generate larger categories. Cases that will generate theoretical cases as well. There's an av, that means there's a tol. And the Gemara, by the way, jumps into, let's try to understand what's the nature of that av and tol relationship. We're not up to that yet. We will get to that. The Gemara starts talking about, you have av and tol by Shabbos, you have av and tol by Tumas. So let's think about which type of av and tol relationship is there by Nezek. Immediately revolted into obviously multiple layers of abstract thinking, and the very language of the Mishnah, the opening line, is meant to set us up for that. And even within the Mishnah itself, the Mishnah goes on to think very categorically. And there's four categories, that's really what they are, of Shor and Bar and Mava and Heather, and then we immediately start comparing and contrasting. How do these four different categories match up to each other? Shor versus Mava, Mava versus Shor, Shor and Mava versus H, all three of them versus Bar. So right away you look at the Mishnah, and there are a lot of things that you wonder about. And particularly you appreciate that the most fundamental objective of the Mishnah is to begin to think analytically about the Parsha of Nezakim, the Parshios, or the Parsha of Nezek and Chumash. That's really the primary focus of the Mishnah. If you think about it, as Rashi tells us off the bat, the Mishnah is talking about Adinim. We're looking at the Parshios and Chumash. The direct, this is Mamre Ki'ilu Amekesh. The Torah Shabbat, which is oriented towards analyzing the Torah Shabbat. What are the cases of Chumash? Let's begin to compare and contrast and start to pull them apart. With an immediate awareness of those, Mikal Dekatur, the language of us, these are meant to generate larger categories. And the truth is, the Parsha of Nezakim in Mishpatim is almost unique. It's very rare. Just looking at Chumash, looking at Halacha and Chumash, it's very, very rare. Not the only time, but it's probably one of the only times that you have a presentation in Chumash, multiple examples, multiple cases of the same overall din, one after the other after the other. You have it by the gun. Yeah, plenty of that. This type of nega and that type of nega. We have a nega on this type of skin, a nega on a bald spot, a nega here, a nega there, a nega on the scab, all the different, that sort of presentation. You have it to an extent by karbanos, the opening prakim of a yikra. This type of karbanos, that type of karbanos, it's an ola being brought from cow, it's an ola being brought from a sheep or goat, it's an ola being brought from a bird. Like that sort of presentation of different variations on the same overall. If you like, you could also say, let's say Parshas Hamor, or maybe even Pinchas and Re'eh also, the Parshas Hamor did, to an extent, they're like that also. They're multiple Yom Tovim, certain things are similar. They're all Mikra Kodesh, all have Mitzvah Melacha, and they all have a carbon Musaf, they all have a Lila Regal, but there are, you know, obviously uniquenesses. The Mitzvah Yom are different. The Yom of Matzah, Karm Pesach versus Shofar versus Lulav and Sukkah and so forth. It's not common that the Torah does this. So, in some cases, it's pretty obvious sort of how to think about it. Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot is happy. I'm told they appear different times of the year. Yeah, so in some way, it's more or less clear how to categorize the ideas. You look at Mishpatim, the parsha of Sukkot. So right away, it's clear the Torah is laying out not just one. Most people appear as one. There's one Isser of Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of Tefillin. Maybe appears multiple times. We don't have multiple types of Tefillin side by side. So here you have multiple types of nezek side by side. So each has its own twist, but they clearly belong to an overall common picture, common set, and that's what the Mishnah is immediately seizing on. How do you make sense? How do you wrap your arms around the parashat Nezek? These are avos. These are obviously categories. These are examples of categories. You're not only chayim when specifically you had a fire which spread and burnt a haystack. If it burns on something else, you can tie it too. It doesn't have to dafka be a shor which uses horns. If there was a cat which scratched, you can tie it too. That's obvious. That's why they're called obvious. So Rashi, Rashi right on that one, lays this out. If your eyes are open, the very first Rashi tells you all of this points. Almost kind of enough to see in the craw the head. Almost refers to those items which are appear explicitly in the Kodesh. The head you need to finish. Who the Gemara Mefarish ain't even tell them. Right? Rashi Meir tells you, by the way, the Gemara is going to explain what are hey is which. Hey is Aramaic for Azim. Hey new tell them. Which are the totals? Which is an incredibly dense move by Rashi. They're telling you, the Gemara that tells you which are the totals tells you that there are totals, and that we're going to figure out what they are. The two for one. Then the next Rashi, and in this Rashi again, he really laid out the fact that avos means chumash and avos means categories. Now, I didn't say anything fancy yet, we're just actually reading what says the Mishnah. And then the next Rashi is the Torah. Now, Shara Bar Mava ahead there, the Mishnah gives us what are indeed these four avos mizikin: a cow, a pig, a mava, and heather. The Rashi says, a Shara Bar. Is finishing Sukkot Parashah, Siddharah, and the Mishnah. They're organized in the Mishnah in the same sequence as they are written in the Parashah, highlighting the fact that there is the Parashah of Nezek. In Chumash, in case you haven't looked at the Chumash recently, Rashi didn't mind you, there is the Parashah. There's one chunk of Chumash which takes you through Nezek. The Parashah Rishonah and Rishar, Shnia, the Bar. Shar comes first and Bar comes second. So the sequence in Chumash, the sequence in the Mishnah, is the sequence in Chumash. And one thing in Rashi, Kedarko, is answering a question without actually raising it explicitly, because trying to the implicit question, which is why are they organized like this? Why Shor, Bar, Mam, Hever, as opposed to any other order? And it's not only a Shaila, it's a Kasha. It's not just, well, why this order as opposed to any other order. There's another order that presents itself. What would have been better than Shor, Bar, Mam, and Hever? Because the Mishnah is about analyzing in a different order. So the companion Rashi to this one is the Lo Hare and Hare Hama. We'll come back to the other Rashi's too. Lo Hare and Hashor and Hare Hama, the Mishnah begins to analyze well. Shor and Mave, and then Shor and Mave together versus Aish, and then all three of them versus Bar. Actually, what do you mean, Lo Hare, how Shor, Hare, how Mave, Lo Hare, how Mave, what does it mean? Hare. What does that mean? Kaloma. When Rashi says Kaloma, what does that mean? The word Kaloma literally means? It means to say. Whenever you see Rashi or Rizvar or something that you show as well, use the word Kaloma, that's a red flag. It's like the Bible, the Gemara tells you that we're about to hear a Shaila. Introduces a Shaila, Kolomar and Arisha introduces a non-literal reading of the text. Not the simplest reading of the text. What it means to say is, in other words, it may sound like something else, but it really means to say if you read it idiomatically, read it in context, the kolomar, what the Mishnah means to say is, sir harka, what are in? Kolomar, what we Mishnah is driving at, he caught him on a shar, lo nasik mavenim. We're talking about written shar, wouldn't have known maven, and vice versa. So we just written maven, I wouldn't have known shar. And tu la'avi, it's tzrichu l'michtav. And I'm too lofty for that reason, it's reasonable with them. That's why they're needed, they're necessary. In other words, the most fundamental question you ask, if the Torah has multiple examples of the same din, is that seems so redundant. After all, we know that you can make a Torah just then, and one of the major themes, correct, one of the major themes of Yigal Mishnah Torah just then is that usually the Chumash is speaking in examples, and not exhaustively. The Torah says, you know, someone found, you're watching Kesef al Kalim, so that probably doesn't mean that the din only applies to someone who's watching money or tools. Those are examples of a larger category. The Torah usually speaks in examples rather than exhaustively. So why not? And that I, way of thinking is formalized in several of the Yigalitos. In Mamotzinu, Binyanav, in Kal Vachomer, Kal Pratuklau, right? We expanded that we were supposed to, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Chumash in a written way they were supposed to expand things logically and see categories in the examples. So that's the question. Kadosh Baruch Hu just written one, I wouldn't have anything else. But if they give me all these things, I just say, if you have a Nezik, you have to pay. Give me one example of Nezik, I'll figure out the rest. That's exactly the Mishnah's first Kash, that's what Rashi tells us. That's exactly the Mishnah's first Kash. Mishnah says, look, you look at the Chumash, you see Shar Bar Mava Hever, you see that in Chumash, and the first question you wonder about is, why are there so many examples of Chumash? Just give me one. I forgot that. Give me two, give me three, give me all four. And that's the law, all right. No, but I would have known this, I wouldn't have known that. The Shar would not have generated Mava. Mava would not have generated Shar. Shar and Mava together would not have generated Eish. And then Rashi says, once you understand what Lo Hare means, then you understand also, or halfway understand, another problem. And that's why in this middle piece of the mission, Lo Hare, we don't use the same sequence used at the beginning of the mission. We should start with Shar Bar Mava Hever. We're not going to do Lo Hare Shar Bar Bar, Rashi says, because it doesn't work. Because Bar is the greatest chiddush. As the Gemara is going to talk about some more later on. Bar, if I had Bar and one other Nezek, I really could generate everything else. So the Gemara says, I'm Hay on the Dates. So if you want to develop the Tzad HaShav, the Lo Harays, you need to have Bar at this. So it's never working sort of from the top down. Shor and Mav are the most likely to be Chayim, because they after all have Ruach Chayim. Eish was never a chayim, but at least it's mobile. It's not really allows it. And then finally, the least likely to be chayim is book. Now, just again, nothing fancy, just so you can get fancy later. So thinking logically, so if the problem is we have one sequence in the Reisha Mishnah, another sequence in the middle of the Mishnah, so we just explain why the middle of the Mishnah needs to be the order of Shar, Mada, Heather, Bar. But then the question is, right, and then that's why it's a kasha. Rashi is responding in Divam Askel HaShar Bar. It's not just, oh, I wonder how come we chose this order as opposed to any other. It's not just a shaila. How come? It's a problem. If we needed, we should have, when we do it twice in one mission, we should use the same order. So if you could explain to me why the later in the mission, it must be Shar, Mava, then Eish, and then Bar, because that's the logical order that works, from most Chamor to least Chamor, most obviously Chayiv to least obviously Chayiv, to use that again also. Should say, Avav Zizikin, Hashar, Mava, Vahever, Vahabar. And then say, Lahore, Shar, Bar, Mava, that would be great. If we can't use it, If later in the mission needs to have its orders, we should then have here too. So Rashi explains, no, but here we needed the reason for this as well. Once we'll analyze them, so we'll set them up in the order that allows us to analyze the most dramatic way. But right now we're just giving the list, There is a natural logic to this list. So there's a reason why we want to print this, right? And Rashi says, "Kesishin the parsha sedar and the mishnah." We're adopting the order in the pesukim, and again, especially building off of Rashi's very first comment, the previous Rashi. So it's not only that chumash is generally important, and seder and pesukim is always of value, but specifically, what the mishnah is doing is learning the chumash. That's what we're trying to do here, is we're trying to think about what are the cases of chumash and how do you understand them and why we need all of them. So this mishnah is mamash of medrash. So of course it makes sense that the order you're going to have is the order of the circuit. Of course, or as Tosis would say, of course it would have made sense to have adopted that order. Now the question is, Rashi's approach is very logical. We'll take some questions and then we'll begin to look at some of the other Rishonim who explicitly ask Rashi's question, are not happy with Rashi's answer, in part because he answered 1 and 2, but he didn't even deal with 3 and 4. It goes Shar and then Bar, but not necessarily after that goes Mava and Heaven. So, and the question is, does Rashi really solve the problem? Tosis and later Rishonim take that up. But first, let's break the question. Yeah, for
so we go through this saying how we have the idea of Shor, and now we have to explain why we also need to explain Mala, why we also need to have Tether, etc. But what if we also have to do the opposite and say, why couldn't it just give 4 and then everything else just hold it with that?
Yes. We could have. We don't. Why don't we? The Gemara we'll get to Gemara that day, and we'll see some more. The Gemara points out the truth is if you can't learn out all of Nezek from any one example. Each one has its own quirk in the case, which you might have said, well, that's why that case is unique to Chai. I could have thought only you only Chai for Gemara, you only Chai for Asia, only Chai for Karen, and so forth. The Gemara does say, though, there would be more sophisticated if Bar was earlier in the list. You couldn't learn everything from Bar alone, but you could have learned everything from Bar and one other.
Yeah, so
if you could have said Bar and Shar, Bar and Bar, Bar and Bar, Bar, Shar, but you couldn't go beyond that. Because between Shar and Bar, you will cover everything else. The Gemara gives another explanation why there's another reason the Gemara says in the hand of Bain, reason number two for why the Torah needs to write each case rather than just giving 1 or 2 and figure out the rest from those. Because it's the same as with Megayim and with Karbanos and with the other examples we gave before. The Torah couldn't just write Pesach, because even if somebody would have figured out that you should have a Yom Tov, on Tezvav Tishrei as well, I would have just said, well, you have Yom Tov Tezvav Tishrei also, and you should eat matzah. I wouldn't have known the unique aspects of Sukkot. No. That in Tishrei, you shake a lulav and sit in Sukkot. Okay, let's say Karbanos. You need to talk about the Ola, and about the Shulchan, and about the Chatas, and about the Asham, because each one has its own unique rules. Ola is the only one that's totally burnt. And Chatas is the only one whose blood goes into unique places, either on the top of the Mizbeach, or inside the Kodesh. And the Shlamim is a Kashim Kalim. The Shlamim, non-Kohanim get to eat, and you eat different places. So each one, they're all Karbanos, each one has its own unique details. So that can be true for Nezek as well, which is going to say, there are certain cases, each one has its own unique rules. Yes, you're chayav to pay if you dug a pit and it caused death. Yes, you're chayav to pay if you light a fire and it causes death. Yes, you're chayav to pay if your pet rabbit ate your neighbor's prized petunias. But in each case, there are rules for when you're chayav and when you're not. Each one has its own quirks and exceptions, as the Gemara of the Hilcho say. So we'll get to more details. A bar you only chayav if it caused injury to an animal, not cause injury to inanimate objects. Aish only chayav if it causes damage to something which was uncovered. Shane regularly only chayav in certain places. Each one has its own twists and turns. But the presentation the Mishnah is giving, I'm sorry, would not have worked with bar early on.
So I'm trying to understand why the Mishnah didn't give the presentation separately.
Because there's still, so you're asking a question I'm not quite yet ready to talk about. So Akiva is asking, what's the point of the Lo Harei? What's the point? What else do we learn? Is there anything else we learn from the Lo Harei besides the fact that sort of responding to the important but technical question of why do you need multiple examples of function? So I would say yes. We need to get there. We'll get to the Mishnah. You see, there are larger lessons from the Lo Harei as well.
The Lo Harei is what's grouping them, and it's needed for a reason that we didn't get to yet.
Yeah, we need to learn some more of the Mishnah. Yoni and the No.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. That was efficient.
So you mentioned that the fact that some of them are balakayim, and then even the when you claim three. There's also, you can just say that they're moving around on the mobile, and that for those reasons you think that these three are higher, but that wouldn't have taught you the fourth one.
Right.
So wouldn't the opposite sorrow work just as well? Why couldn't you flip that on its head and say, you know, you'd be less tired if it's moving around, because say a boar, which is not moving around, you have more of a responsibility and an ability to watch. You know, what's not a balchai, you have more control. So can you just flip that sort of...
You're raising a great question, which is what Akiva sort of touching also. I just want to go step by step through the Mishnah. In the Lo Harei's, because I want first to work away a little more thoroughly through the point that Rashi raised about the Seder, Shomer, Ramah, Be'er. Then I want to come to the next major question is your question. What's with the Ruach Haim? Why is Ruach Haim a Machai? Or a Chomer, as opposed to a Kula? You could have argued, as we mentioned this yesterday, the very end of Seder. You could have argued me. Bar is I should be more responsible for, because no one else can take responsibility. I did everything. I dug the pit. I left it open. It's my fault. But if it's my dog, my cow, my rabbit, I mean, I should be more careful. My animal, both things, but it was my animal's decision. So I bear some liability, but not quite as much as a bar. But you could have argued either direction. So what it is that the Mishnah is getting at the Lo Harei, those svaras, so same to Akiva, understanding what Yachalei Lazer and Ruach Haim are all about, will give us a lot of insight into sort of core ideas of Nesek. So let's get there, but let's go step by step. One last question, Adam.
Why does the Mishnah tell us these weird microcosmic cases and then leave us to figure out what the Kin or what the Av actually is? Why doesn't the Mishnah tell us what the actual
Av. And that's an excellent question. Why the Mishnah only give us repeat the cases in Chumash instead of giving us the larger abstract categories? The Gemara will. We're going to get further once you get past Beis Hamanaf. One of the major things in the course of a Shachar Torah by something else. This is very classic format in opening Amudim of a Masechta. The Gemara will have sort of like a specific question. That's going to be a frame to allow the Gemara also to flesh out what actually is Shein all about and what's regular and how do you define the category. Why didn't that? So the Gemara will get there. Why didn't the Mishnah get there? It's a good question. You can also ask that question. Why didn't the Mishnah give us in Masech HaShabbos in the seventh parak, if I can get them at all, Mishnah gives a list of Lama tests of his Malamas, but does not bother to tell us how to expand each of them. It talks about planting. It doesn't say encouraging planting. It talks about posting, not about conveying ideas through something written. Should we talk more? And the Mishnais in general, like Chumash, tend to give specific cases rather than abstract principles. Think about all sorts of Mishnais, right? Mishnais give you a whole host of cases, and Gemara will say, well, you put this case together with that case together, and put these, then all of a sudden you begin to understand what are the underlying issues and what's actually driving the dig. And the Mishnais are by design, probably, Chumash style, and giving you specific cases rather than general abstract principles and categories. Why? Probably, well, part of the reason why Chumash is like that, this is a larger conversation, probably best to save for tonight, but certainly it's clear that Kadosh Baruch Hu made a decision, so to speak, Kadosh Baruch Hu intended to give us Torah in the combination of two forms. And a big part of the relationship of Tarshav Sav and Tarshav Peh is you get specific data points, specific facts in Tarshav Sav. And Tarshav Peh, there's one who explains Tarshav Peh to pass on to generations of Tzmiyat HaKam, generations of Kal Yisrael, how to understand and sort of put these things into perspective. And as I said before, one of the major themes of the Midrash HaTorah Midrash Peh, from front and center of Tarshva Peh is this understanding that the specific cases in Chumash are exemplars of categories and not exhaustive. So that's part of the one of the major meta roles of Tarshva Peh is to keep Klal Yisrael thinking in larger categories about the details in the Chumash. Ramchal has a beautiful essay about Agarata, for some other time to look at her. But one of the many points he makes there is that when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Gemara Timura says, you know, the first 1500 years or so of intellectual Jewish history since Maamar Har Sinai, so we had Tarshvach Sa'ab, Kech Sa'ab, we had Tarshvach Peh, Va'ab, and then there comes this point Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi says, around well over a century after the Qurban Bayit Sheni, we're at a very dangerous inflection point, and if we don't begin to transmit Tarshvach Peh, Kech Sa'ab, we're going to start losing material. And he made this judgment call that it's better to transmit the Torah in a suboptimal way than to actually begin to shed chunks of the Torah itself. So we're going to begin to convey Tarshva Peh to Haksav. It's still authentic. It's not the ideal way to convey Torah. But better to make that concession than to run the risk of beginning to lose chunks of the Torah. So that's what the Gemara Timur says. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi begins the process, oversees the first major leg of the process of committing Tarshva Peh to writing with the text of Mishnah. Ramchal writes in his Mamar al Agados, but he had no choice. So there's really the ideal way to transmit Tarshva Peh. It was like a dechuya, and he had no choice but to put it b'chsav. Since it was a dechuya, Ramchal writes, he wanted, to the extent possible, the actual Kayim Shneihim, the extent that we can still keep, we want to keep Tarshva Peh as Baal Peh-ish as possible. So number one, a lot of Dinim, most of Tarshva Peh was not written down. And even the Tarshva Peh that was written down in the Mishnah was by design enigmatic. It's not by accident that you have pieces of Mishnahs in different places that seem to be so to each other, and we'll give it parents. But that's by design, it was intentional. Rabbi Yehuda chose to write Mishnayis as a jigsaw puzzle. You still need, it's written in a way that there are some pieces of Tarshva Peh that are committed to writing, so it'll help us to remember that and the rest, but by design, it's still very Tarshva Peh. Even that part that's written down, you can't really make sense of it. You need a lot of Tarshva Peh to interpret. The Tarshva Peh will be very much alive even in reading Mishnayos. So that is by design that we're not getting that Mishnayos are almost exclusively case law. There are exceptions. This already is more abstract than case law than your typical Mishnah format Mishnayos. But even this, you're right. We could have said a lot more, and by design we did not. That's left for Rabbeinu Talmidim to work on. Okay. So Shor Bar Mama Hever, Rashi says that what's driving the organization is Seder HaMikra. So the and again, as I said before, that form follows function. Right? The fact that the sequence it seems to be Chumash makes a lot of sense given the context of what this Mishnah is trying to accomplish. But as you saw, Rav Tosis is very unhappy with this. Tosis is very unhappy. They say, well, number one is the big machlokas on that Gimel and Beis Dalet Alpi, Rav and Shmuel. What is Mav'eh? Is Mav'eh Adam, in which case Shor is all types of Shor? Or maybe Mav'eh and Shor are both different types of Shor. Maybe Mav'eh Shein, where an animal is consuming, or doing otherwise something they enjoy doing. And L'maskaras HaSugya, Shor would mean regal. The animal isn't really enjoying it, but it's just sort of moseying along, doing something that it does all the time, like walking and stamping. So he says, well, Shor comes before Bar, but that's Karen which comes before Bar. Shein and regal come later. Uvir b'sfeyachar, Shiel comes before Uvir b'sfeyachar, that comes very end. So he says, yeah, Avogadol Amanda Amir Tosis HaShor. Under the Tarshah Leraglo, If you hold that Shor means Dafka Regal, how do you say that Parsha? That's not in order. Because Regal not from the Mishilach and the Biki wrote. Regal comes from possibly the Siv Basar Bar, that appears out of the book. Mikoba Tom Tosis says, and here's sort of Tosis' conceptual contribution. Here is Shame Shor Siv Kodim Parsha. Regal in particular doesn't appear before Bar, but some type of Shor does. The overall, the Shame Shor, that label, that overall category, appears first. Behind the keys of the Karen, because Karen appears earlier. He got, he go. Okay. Ulamandar Mahdaz Adam. How about calling for Rav? The Shar means all of Shar. Bar means Bar. But Mahdaz Adam. How about Captain Lebosser? Now, where is Adam Hamazik appear? A person who causes damage to property. That's what Adam really means. A person who does damage to other people, the foreign terminology. If I punch you in the nose, I spit in your face, I attack your person, so that's called chovel, ches vav teiz lam. Adam da azik adam, the person attacks another person is called chovel, that's the topic of the eighth paragraph of this Masechta. Here, mavez adam, that to do means a car accident. If I drive my car into yours, I drive my car into your bushes, so I cause damage. I hit a baseball through your window, or I was in the Taekwondo studio and I was breaking boards. It turns out that the boards that I broke my hands and feet were yours, and you didn't really want me to break, that you were planning to use that lumber for a construction project. And I just took your Douglas fir 2x4 studs and I cracked them into pieces. Perhaps an impressive display of technique, but I was mazik. That's what we mean by mazik. Adam amazik, meaning a person is mazik materials. Where does that? This is like the most fundamental case of nezek. Where does it appear in Chumash? Ironically, not in Mishpat. That appears in Parshas Zemar. That's makke nefesh behemish, makke behemish shalmen. If a person hits an animal or some other property, you shalmen, you gotta pay for it. As I have Tosa says, Parshas Zemar, makke behemish shalmen, that's under nezek shor, but low, two answers. So why doesn't Mava appear last? Tosis has two answers. Number one and number two. Number one is, yeah, but that's so far away. Rachel Kolka. What do you mean Rachel Kolka? So far away. What he means is definitely should go last. So presumably what he means is by going back to the core of Rashi, we're really primarily looking at the Parsha of Nizakim in Mishpatim. That's sort of our primary focus. Within that framework, there's an order to things. And more, yes, it's later, but it's totally out of that whole picture. It's sort of like saying, within Parshas Emor, the Parshas HaMoedim, the Parshas Emor, so you can look at the sequence. Now we have Shabbos, and we have Pesach, Sfiras Omer, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, and it's a good kasha, how come within Sukkos there, so we divide Sukkot and Lulav into two, and Shmiat Seres is in between, it's a great kasha. But you're not going to ask me, you have Parsha Moedim. How come Yom Kippur comes first? Why does Yom Kippur come first? Achrinos! That's before Pesach and Emor. It's not first. It's sort of out of the whole, that's out of the context, that's out of the set. It's really what Tosfos means by their first answer. Not just it happens to be far away. The point is, it's out of the set. Where the Seder our cousin Ba Parsha is actually the Parsha of Nezachim, not Chumash as a whole. There's a set in Chumash. And then the second answer is Rabbi Tam, because we Rashi, Tosis quotes, the attack says, Shame Adam Siv Baharsha. You're right. Chol Adam Hamazik appears later, but you have Chovel and Geneva. We have Geneva earlier. Geneva appears. It's also a type of Adam Hamazik. Geneva appears between Bar and Heaven. That's why it's over there. Shame Adam, like the Shame Shark. Of course, the problem is, if you look at Shem Adam, we also had Adam HaChovel, as you saw, before anything else. In which case, Mava should have been first. So this is sort of, Tosis is working within Rashi. We're going to wrap things up. And you know, tomorrow, I want to begin by wrapping this up. Something we show him get more creative in terms of, say, Rajba especially pushes on Tosis, doesn't hold water. Tosis maybe start pushing Rashi. Tosis is trying to patch up Rashi. The Rosh was going to point that the Tosis is going to need some patching as well, so they may have to instead of trying to patch up Rashi, put aside Rashi, focus on Chumash, and think about other factors instead. And from there, we're going to move into the central part of the Mishnah, the Dark Way of Ahazim, and see where the core issue of the Mishnah is teaching us.